be the Lord of my life tonight.
In you. We acknowledge you as the great God, the great King, the one unto whom all flesh shall call. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him praise. We magnify your name, O God. We give you glory. We ask tonight, O God, that you cause the voice of our lips and the prayers of our hearts to be honored before your presence. That as we pray, let things change on earth. As we bind, let it rebound in heaven. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, as we continue in the prayer, I'd like you to look upon Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58.
Bible speaking in the book of Psalms chapter 82 says, Psalms 82 verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that they know not, neither will they understand, they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. The foundations of the earth. We'll move into the New Testament, you'll come to realize that Abraham sought a city that had foundations. What exactly does the scripture mean when it makes reference to foundations? In the case of Abraham, we were given the privilege to understand what it actually meant. Because from the Greek rendering, we could see that the word foundations referred to principles for living. Principles for living. Abraham, in his sojourning to the place that God has allotted to him, was privileged to pass through the territories of several nations. He was able to study their economy, study their lifestyle, study their strength, study their military power. And he saw that the principles by which these kingdoms functioned were not principles that could engender a continuing city. And based on the circumnavigation that he made on the account of his journey from all the Chaldees, he was able to discover that a great portion of the people that dwelt upon the face of the earth did not have principles that could engender their existence in a perpetual nature. And so he decided not to be a citizen of any nation. And the Bible says that he sought for a city that the God in heaven was the builder. A city that had foundations. A city that functioned with principles that engender continuity. Principles that engender permanency. Hallelujah. For instance, you hear the psalmist David saying that thy throne, O God, is forever. Why? Because the throne is established on a principle. There is a principle that establishes that throne that makes it possible for the throne to exist forever. He said, a scepter of thy kingdom is what? It's a right scepter. Because that throne, any throne that is established on righteousness, has a propensity and a capacity to perpetuate itself after many generations. Because of the principle upon which the throne is established. We could discern by the principles that your life exhibits, we could discern how much you will last. How long you will last. Saw their military system, their educational system, all the systems that they have in view that formed Egypt. And he looked upon it, he had so much opportunity for him to be conscripted as a nationality of Egypt because the king was interested in his wife. That was a good bargain. He would have caught a covenant. You are not. Yeah, what are you talking about? The king of Egypt. Then he was like the ruler of the world. And he's interested in your wife. My God. And under the circumstances, Abraham said she was his sister. So he had become related to Pharaoh. You don't understand this. He would have been large and fat and big. But even Pharaoh, even Egypt, that was the star of the then world, Abraham did not submit to their nationality because he saw that there were holes in their armor. He decided to still remain a sojourner. That his journey will never end until he meets that city that God has built, that he has established the principles that govern it. Now, if we look at your life carefully, we will know whether you have a future. Are you still with me? I know that the amen will be dying along. But you see, those messages that you don't get excited when they are preached, they help your inner man. They bring ventilation inside. I found that in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Sorry, Hebrews 4. When the Bible began to give us the characteristics of the word of God. Say, sharper than any two-edged sword. Because he has the capacity to pierce beyond, through and through, to the dividing asunder, bone
and marrow, soul from spirit. The Bible also says that the word of God has the capacity to discern the very intent and the thoughts of the heart. Ah, you remember the thing that Simeon spoke unto Mary when they brought Jesus for dedication. He said, the sword shall what? Pierce your heart so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. Several times the word of God needs to pierce through. And then he has a way of discerning and bringing to light hidden thoughts. And in those characteristics mentioned, Paul did not add excitement as one of the things that is part of the word of God. I become sorrowful. That's the truth. I'm sorrowful. When we go to a meeting, the word is not there. Because the description of the word of God in the book of Hebrews is a piercing instrument. They can't pierce you and you'll be doing Doesn't matter the kind of anesthesia that was administered. If you are pierced, your meditation becomes deeper. You lose concept. The frequency of your medication is altered. Abraham refused to accept nationality of any nation on earth. For he sought a nation, a kingdom that had foundations. The rat race was terrible in those days. There were people from all walks of life. Our deeper life brothers, they were rugged in the deeper dimensions. Our faith brothers, they were in the faith college. And they came with some principles like, you don't need to pray. Just speak the word. Say it. If you keep confessing the word of God, it will come to pass. And one day we gathered the faith brothers on the tennis court and said, let's pray. And I lifted the prayer point. The prayer point always survived in their spirit for 10 minutes. And the prayer fire died. I knew that this city, I cannot be a member of this nation because it will crash. I sampled it. I saw it. Couldn't be a member of that nation. The language of that nation was sweet. If you learn it, you like it. It is compatible. It aligns itself with so much grammar. But in the depth of it, it did not carry substance enough for me to submit my destiny on those principles. Abraham sought for a nation. He sought for a city that had principles that God in heaven had established for perpetual continuity. When God walks in him, there is no truncation. You know, we have NEPA, but NEPA is not available. We know NEPA much more in the situation of lack of light than presence of light. So NEPA is like negative. -5. Hallelujah. But this man was looking for principles that were not of earth. Because if they are of earth, they will produce a result that the pressures of this realm will counteract. He wanted something that was reliable. Something that he could rest, put his soul upon, and expect that it will perpetuate for 1,000 generations. And so he refused to tarry. What exactly were these principles that Abraham discovered? The Bible called him the father of faith. It was by faith that he broke into that realm because he had to access the atmosphere and the structure of heaven to download from heaven things that made heaven perpetual, things that make heaven continue. Everything that God does is after the order of the everlasting. In him, there's no truncation, there's no altercation. There is no break in transmission. It just perpetuates. It just keeps going. It just extends and extends like that. Hallelujah. Oh my God. You are not with me. Keeps extending. There was a time like that many years ago in our group in Kano. Something happened.
some of the brethren believe that my gospel was too hard, that they could not see grace in it, that the New Testament economy was an economy of grace. Hallelujah. And my own message was too much of law. It was hard. Say, no, this is not the New Testament. Because we are not seeing grace in this thing. Hallelujah. There are two systems by which God operates. The prime and the principal system, the system of kingdom, is an autocratic system. God determines, he calls the shots, determines what happens, determines, in fact, if you violate his authority, he will discipline you seriously. And there's another system, the system of grace. And the system of grace came into view because of the fact that man was incapacitated to attain unto kingdom existence and kingdom life. So God created and made available the possibility of grace to bring us, first of all, into the kingdom. We could not be part of the kingdom except God himself helps us to get there. In grace, God walks. In law, you walk. Are you with me? So, on the account of the fall of man, the law became ineffective because the law could not furnish the righteousness he spoke about. The law could not help you to attain unto the expectations of God. But it just showed you that this is what God expects, but it does not impact into you the ability to become exactly what God expects. So the law was handicapped. The law was had a shortcoming. So grace came so that to empower us to be able to come into the kingdom and also to function and attain to kingdom standards. Are you with me? Grace did not come to abolish the kingdom, but it came to make kingdom life a possibility. If God said, Abraham, you have two wives, send one away, it is established. Just in case you were a non-believer, that you gave your life to Christ, you married 14 wives, and you kept it. The law won't change because your name is Sunday. Are you with me? The perspective of the kingdom will not change because of you. You are not here. Okay. Let me come down. That one is of God that judged it. He says, that is how it will be. You understand it now? So grace now makes you, gives you the ability to be able to live up to the expectation of God. So grace did not come to abolish the kingdom, but grace came to establish it and to make it effective in your own life. Without grace, we cannot even enter into the kingdom in the first place. Talk more of functioning it. Are you here? So my friend said, I was a preacher of law. So, okay, there's no need to argue. You believe in some other principles. I believe in different principles. The best way to prove who knows has the truth, let us live within our own principles for 5 years. We will not quarrel. Preach your grace, live inside. We will preach kingdom and live inside. And let's compare notes after 5 years. Is that not the best, a good way? He was looking for principles that he could establish his life upon so that after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, he will see the very things that is in God manifested in his own life. And nothing on earth will be able to thwart that which has begun to take place in his life because he's established on principles that God's hand has formed. Now, let me tell you a little bit about principles. Whether you like a principle or not, if you like an OBJ test, if you mark it right, you don't know it, it's right. If you mark it right, you know it, it's right. Hallelujah. Brother Tony came to my house today and said, he went to Sunday Gutsche. Sunday Gutsche told him that the reason why some churches are suffering is because they don't give. They don't give out. Generally. So I told him that is no longer a revelation. That is supposed to be our lifestyle now. If till now somebody is not rooted in releasing, he has accepted a principle. Are you with me? To live without what? Giving sacrificially. His life will present the evidence of the success of those principles.
Are you here now? Oh my God. Do you know?
Mele kokoli maalaya.
His life will be an example of the outcome of what?
Those wisdom.
That's why Abraham was looking for the principle that God has established, so that his own life will not be trial and error. He wanted to operate principles that will perpetuate him just as God is perpetuated. He needed principles that the hand of God has what? He didn't find them in Egypt. He didn't find them in Mesopotamia. He didn't find them anywhere. And he was looking. Now, if we look at your own life, we isolate it and keep. You know, it's not good for us to go too far without confronting ourselves with the truth. Because whether you like it or not, you know it or you don't know it, the principles that you have unknowingly or unknowingly submitted yourself to will yield results. And those results are your creation. Because you had a choice of choosing whether you wanted to adopt them or not. And just in case you are ignorant and you adopt a wrong principle, then the Bible says, my people perish. You will still perish, even though you are seeing his people. Oh, you are not with me. It seems I'm preaching the wrong message today. I'm preaching the wrong sermon. I can't open Isaiah 58, where I want to read, if we don't understand this thing. I've seen people, he said, ministries that are poor is because they don't give. I say it's not a revelation. It's just that when people hear things, they don't know which ones are principles that are eternally established. Whether you like it or not, it will not change. So when I knew that that was a principle coming from a realm, that everything was perpetuated after the order of God, I had to align myself so that the same principles will bring about an outcome. I wanted to be deliberately involved in determining the principles that will advance my life. Are you here now? So grace does not come to abolish kingdom. Grace only comes so that it will establish it in your life. And those my friends say, no, they are grace preachers. They are me, I'm law. I'm a preacher of law. I say, no problem. Use your life to operate those principles. Let me use my own life. And then after 5 years, we'll come back. We'll not quarrel. We'll come and compare notes. And then we'll see how far you have gone. And we'll see how far I've gone. He didn't get up to 5 years. So there were situations of abortions and reabortion. It's grace now. You know, you can fall into sin sometimes, and grace will abound. Grace is flowing. When grace exists, and you don't understand the purpose of grace, that is to bring us to a point where we attain to the fullness of the mission, of the stature. There's a design that God is expecting, the empowerment that comes by grace to establish and furnish in us. I found out why people don't grow. Are you recording this sermon? I found out where people that are giving to prayer and all of that, we are very privileged, but we need to mix it with the truth. If you avoid prime principles, you will pay for it, and you will use your life to pay. Experience is a bad teacher. Have you found that? Because if you use your life as the tool of experience, and you will have some scars that will remain with you for life. It's better to learn from the Holy Spirit. I like this one. Learn from the Holy Ghost, so that you don't need to experience what is evil. Are you still here today? Abraham took him principles upon which to establish his life, so that his life will have a predictable outcome. He said, I'm not going to surrender to the principles of Egypt. I'm not going to surrender to the principles of the Chaldees. I am not going to surrender. He kept moving. He ended up becoming a sojourner. Hallelujah. If you know God, if you know him very well, you know he doesn't change his mind. So when you study the scriptures, you attend to it with a humble heart, trusting God to be able to obey the instructions of the Lord. Sometimes they are very hard. Just the ones in scriptures here, talk less of the one that the Holy Spirit will whisper to your ears. Sometimes they are very hard. Like God spoke to me yesterday, said, give me 100 days of prayer and I will come. He didn't consider that I'm a civil servant, I'm a father, businessman, I am. He didn't consider that. That's how his words are. They are always law. Come up hither. Then he doesn't put into account how you will climb. What did he say? Come up. The reason is because when he said come up, grace went alongside that word to give you the ability to be able to come up. But I tell you the truth, it will not be instantaneous. You will make some effort. And in the effort you exert, you will find an ability that will always make you have the capacity to take the next step. It will be so supernatural that it will stand to be despised. You will not know that it's grace operating. Hallelujah. He was looking for what? Principles. After 5 years, many of those people on the grace camp, they had backslidden. So that by the time we wanted to come back to compare notes, they were not complete. Because he operated what? They used their life as case study to practice some principles that are contrary to the perspective of Scripture. Alright? Whenever you see an assembly where the mind of God is not revealed plainly, that if you find yourself here, God is not with you. Those people will not understand that the world has pillars. That's what Hannah said. This world has what? They will not also understand that the world has boundaries. Several things that if you trespass, there are repercussions. It was in the Kano riot that a man took dagger and pierced through a pregnant woman's stomach and brought the child out of the stomach. The woman died instantly. And the man became mad instantly because he had trespassed. In the eating court of God, that is not allowed. And that was why there was instantaneous judgment. But somebody may not, a pastor may not tell his member that there is something like trespass. That even though you speak in tongues, there's a place you can be. There's something you can do that the wrath of God will be open for you. With the Holy Ghost inside of you, He will. You see, when you bring the Bible into the kingdom context, you understand the way God operates. For any other plane, you want to look at the Bible. Some people believe that the Bible is an economics textbook where we get principles to excel. All right? But I need to show you in Scripture that every man that prospered under God's authority did not prosper instantly. First of all, God took him through a process that made his spirit life to grow large, to grow deep, and he lived his life in perpetual lack in a particular season so that those principles will be administered to him. And he will begin to live within those principles restricted by the mighty hand of God. And God will be promoting him gradually. And he will see the way he will move. I've seen people that God gave little anointing and then they dash out. Any promotion, either secular or sacred, that you have in any realm, there's a vanity that's attached to it. And God wants you to be deeply rooted in the principles of heaven, such that any lifting that comes your way will not be able to compromise your spiritual journey. If you take my, if you steal my car, I won't pray about it. I live a very wonderful life without a car before. And that season was long, so that I've not forgotten how to trek, and I will never forget it in my short lifetime. Are you with me? There were principles that God was building around your life. Sometimes God will allow you to have an extra year. He's building what? I know you don't like to hear what I
I know.
You see, a man sojourning does not have a permanent house. That's a risky way to live. It's nomadic. But that's a rugged way. I see people that grew old without principles. They didn't go too far. How do you want to live this life? In my little study of the Bible, I found 15 of those principles. I see people that speak in tongues, but God is not happy with them. The fact that you speak in tongues, but don't mean you are a spiritual man. Know it today. The day God comes to promote you, that promotion will cut you off from your destiny. If principles have not been stored in your life. Sometimes when God wants to chastise you, he wants to discipline you, you escape. Meanwhile, the discipline was supposed to bring you to a point where what? Some principles will be. Your mind will be renewed to accommodate a reality that you were not naturally programmed to accommodate. You know, I've always read the Bible that he will cover you with his wings. Under his feathers, you will rest. I've read all those scriptures, but it never meant anything to me. Until I went to Kano. I was in a riot, and they surrounded me to kill me. And the people that wanted to kill me could not kill me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Then I discovered that the devil cannot say, I will kill you by 9 o'clock and perform it. He cannot say it. It's not given to him. I found out. Then I knew what the Bible meant when he said he will cover you with his feathers. The devil cannot kill me. He can't. It's not given to him. He doesn't have the authority. I found out. There are several things in the Bible when God, he needs an experience that will make you fear to establish that principle. And when God begins to deal with people, especially people that are spiritual, that speak in tongues, when they begin, I've seen lawlessness under the dealings of the Holy Spirit trying to install principles. You won't go far, I tell you. Don't deceive yourself. I've been among prayer circles before. I've seen that most people that die with pride are people that pray. Check the flavor, the texture of your prayer. Check it. Is it beaming out with humility? Check it. When you stand to pray, just know what you are doing. Principle. And I've seen many people anointed with fire. But they couldn't go beyond the first phase of their walk. And they withered and became old. And all they had were fables of the past. When I fell upon a dead man and raised him. But in the present time, he could not command deliverances unto Jacob. I've seen people that took only a keg and a water bottle. You know, when Abraham was dispatching Hagar, he gave her a water bottle. Some people are taken up with water bottle, and you think you will cross the desert and come out on the other side alive. What I'm saying today is just to build some practical lessons that will make us understand that if tomorrow, 5 years from today, your life does not appreciate, it's nobody's fault. It's the state of your heart. So I want to smuggle to you some truths. They are very bitter. They are bitter to the mouth, but they bring healing to the stomach. The first time I boarded the plane, I was on China Southern Airlines. My stomach was running, and they brought one meal. You know, they speak Chinese. Guru, I said, Guru! And then I don't know what I said, but the woman brought something. Then I saw one leaf there. Food that I've never seen. Then I saw one leaf. I took the leaf, I ate. And my stomach that was purging, it became. This leaf I want to administer to you. That your purging, that spirit, that lawlessness is, it will cool it. That voice bitter. Oh, it's a bitter hair, but his healing effect is not in doubt. Take heed. While as you are praying, you have not, you didn't see pride growing inside of you. Take heed. You will be stagnated. Everybody will grow. You wonder, why is God pastor? I've seen that. Can you walk with me? I will start. See, that's why there's a problem. The problem is that there's no time. That's the problem. That's the problem. If I start now, we have to agree that until we finish, we'll be coming every day. That's the only, if not, I won't start. There's the things we need to ask Jesus. Some major men of God rose up at a point and began to say, you don't need to pray. Wisdom does not answer to prayer. It answers to thinking. And we lost an entire generation because of that error. Unconsciously, the younger generation imbibed the prayerless Christianity. The implication of that is that the flesh will be given adequate ventilation to expand, and people's lives will be built around ambition, built around appetite, built around greed, and no significant spiritual progression or growth will ever be established. That came because of the error of a senior man. Body of Christ. And when I came around that city, I was part of that city. But I kept my prayer life home healthy because I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying. My pastor that trained me, his friend followed that man to a hotel in Kaduna. The man prayed in tongues for 7 hours. The pastor that he took to pray with him, after 3 hours, his throat was dry. He had gasped out. This man blowing tongues for 7 hours and slept and woke up. He kept blowing like that for 3 days. Then on the 10th day, he said, thank you, Jesus. And he went to take his bath. Then you come to the pulpit and say, it does not answer to prayer. I knew he was lying. I knew he was cooperating with Satan. I knew. A man that would dispatch everybody from the church in Lagos and drive to the church 11 in the night and beg God for all the sins of what he had been preaching. He will beg in the night and repent before daybreak. On the morning, he will come again and say, hey! I've been there. You know why I'm preaching like this? God, this is my calling. That's why I have authority. If you do it, you might be slain. But me, I will grow. I was sent to yank a generation out of deceit and deception. Principles they have adopted unknowingly because they have reverence for several people that are already in error. And unknown to them, their life is navigating along a course of destruction. I deliver you from that error in the name of Jesus Christ. I knew he was lying. Because the way of the Spirit determines, demands that you will spend time in the place. In fact, you will pray much and fast much. And the Bible recommends that aspect of your life in growing large and deep in the Spirit should be that which you should be given to do when you are still young. The Bible says it's good for a man that he bear his yoke while he's yet young. There is a yoke that everyone will bear. You bear it now, it will be difficult to bear later. Yes. That yoke will put your spirit life as priority. That yoke will put your relationship with God as priority. That yoke will make you believe what God is saying more than the suggestions of human beings. That yoke will make you die for what God has said in the face of pressure. You understand it? Sometimes that's why God will take us through pressure. So that you will learn how not to trust any other thing. Trust your intelligence. Trust your beauty. Trust your ability. You only trust God. You will come to realize in final analysis that the only person that does not fail is God. Maybe you still trust yourself here. You make 2-1. And because of that, you say, you know my ability. You know, when it comes to this thing about book, I boasted more than you. And I'm not still sure that if we sit down, now me and you, whether you still be better. But I boasted. I boasted more than you. I had terrible plans. And God came quick enough to show me that I had nothing. So that I could rely and build my life around the real thing, which is what? God that does not change. God that cannot die. God that cannot lie. We are going to look at the life of Abraham quickly. You'll see some things. Are you still with me? Hope you are not angry with me yet. Check what is growing in your life. Check it. You should be able to assess yourself. Check it. The way you answer people, the way you respond to people, the way you talk to people. Do you sit back in the night to check what is growing? Because you will notice that growth in your actions and in your words. And God wants to bring us to a point where we are more natural in the spirit realm than the natural realm. We are more convenient to function from that realm. It was that discovery that Abraham made, that security is not in the natural realm but in the supernatural realm. That was what made him a father of faith. He decided to connect to the supernatural realm because the supernatural realm was balanced and steady and was held up by the integrity of God. And so he knew that if he was going to perpetuate and he was going to continue, if his life was going to generate a nation, then let that nation be established upon the integrity of God that is in the realm of the supernatural. And that was what made him to sojourn until he discovered faith. Faith was the response that he gave and the response that he had to the realities in the realm of the spirit that he was encountering. And he decided to base his life on that response, on that plane, on that reality. He based his foundation on that existence, on that which was furnished by the Spirit of God in his spirit as he interacted with the realm of the supernatural, so that if everything goes, he knows that realm won't go. And the truth is this, well, you will see it as we study. I will just give you small, then we'll close it and pray. Hallelujah. For you. Hallelujah. The best thing that anybody can do for you is to be encouraging you to pray. Because your spirit needs to grow deep and wide and strong. And your life must take its bearing from your spirit life. Your spirit. That the spirit of a man shall sustain his infirmity. If you find out that there's an attack on your body, make sure that you keep your spirit healthy. Your body will recover. Keep it healthy. You cannot die until you lose hope in your spirit. Until you lose confidence in spirit power. You cannot die. I've tested it. Death turns backward for several people. What was it that Abraham discovered in his sojourn? And to which nation did he declare his allegiance? The father of faith was the first one that discovered and interacted with that realm and brought his descendants to interact with that realm. And the realities of that realm became the foundation upon which their existence was built. Can we go in a journey? Have you checked them? Where did somebody operate the one you are operating now, and you saw the example in the Bible, what it produced? Because the Bible has all the shades and colors. It will recommend to you that if you start this way, this is how you will end. If you start that way, this one you are living now, the one you have adopted, have you found a prototype in the scripture that has given you confidence that this will be the outcome? We don't operate by principles blindly. You must be in the know of the outcome so that you discipline yourself to keep yourself within the picture. We don't operate with them blindly. But demons will sell that principle to you once you are still yielding to a desire of the flesh. You are operating with pride and principles that are not from the kingdom of God. You have adopted a lot of things. The devil has sold out principles to you. Your outcome is also definite. The Bible speaks about people that walk like that. You see, we can't read Isaiah chapter 58. Because Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, "Then that be of thee shall rebuild the old waste places." He said, the places are old and waste. He said that they will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths for men to dwell in. They have gone ahead and operated in some principles. And they have seen devastations in the communities, devastations in the country, devastations in the state. And God wants to use them as the messengers. The people that will build righteousness back, build the landscape, refurnish the paths for men to walk. The Bible says that they will lay foundations. That word has come again. For what? Many generations. What are the principles you are praising by? And that's why by the time we move into the book of Matthew, you are going to see the kingdom principles. Is outlined critically in those places. The kingdom principles, the laws that operate and the principles that operate in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus took his time to spell it out for us that are upon the face of the earth. That if we base, if we establish our lives on these principles, only heaven can fully interpret, and eternity can fully interpret the quality of life that will result. Only heaven. My time is spent. I still want us to pray. Continue on, man. So that maybe this month, even if it, because the devil will come to take your attention. Yeah. Had lost the grace of God. He still knew how the thing used to work before. But he had stepped on a sinking sand. He was no longer on the rock. For 5 years, as we moved along as friends, a time came when we had to prove the principles that we believe. If we were more mature, we would not have tried that. Because we lost some people. Some were taken by death. Some were struck by the devil. Some were given some scars that they are ashamed of, and they will ever live to be ashamed of all the days of their life. Just because they opened themselves up to some principles. It's all in the story of the book of Matthew. But let me show you something in Hebrews.
worship you. Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. We worship you. We worship you.
Have you taken your time to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 very, very carefully? No, we can't do this thing today. Trust me. It's bitter, very bitter, but it will heal you. The way people are living, they are princes. Said in Port Harcourt, if you want to make a champ for power, there's one of 30,000, one of 48,000, one of 150,000, one of 180,000, and each one, there's one that you 500 or something that it can take you for 4 months. For 4 months, you operate power. That's the principle. It will to produce. You understand it? To produce. Don't you know that people that visit herbalists, they have some results now? Is it life? What the devil will do is that he will teach them his principles and they will operate it. But he will not tell them the consequence of the principles. And whether you know it or not, it will befall you. Even though most of the time the herbalist does not tell you the repercussion. But because you have adopted this principle, there is an inevitable consequence that will invade your life. You can't run away from it. That's the outcome. And also, it's very easy for a spiritual man, a man in church, to be deceived that he is on the right path. Very easy. Especially if he does not have the technology of judging his heart perpetually. He will veer off. He will veer off. Something else will keep him. So by the time we come on Monday, we'll start and see what were the things that Abraham discovered that made his own life different, and he refused to accept the national identity card of any nation on earth, for he sought a nation, he sought a city that God was a builder, and God was the one that had established the principles that we live by in that nation. Are you with me now? According to scripture, the principle for power is fasting and prayer. Period. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be careful to understand the signs, the signals, and the symbols of the Holy Ghost. He might give you a snapshot. Make sure that the Holy Spirit is ahead of you in the service. If you are not running ahead of Him, your script, or what do you call it? Message, the one you prepare, is not more important than the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to go ahead. And you follow him, and then follow his instructions, you will see his manifestation. And when you come tomorrow, you want to do the same thing. Tomorrow is different to the realm. You need to learn afresh. And there is a heart of humility that God will be using those things to administer on you in little doses, such that a man that works with God perpetually shall end up becoming very humble. If you will not miss it. Many times people walk with God and get to a level that they can't grow again. There is pride that check it most times is pride. And God knows that if he increases the weight of glory, he himself will be moved by his own holiness to kill them. So he has to leave them on that level. That's the last level they can attain to, with the level of pride inside of them that will not allow God to kill them. So they have to. It's by love that God pegs them on that level. We'll check it on Monday. For those 3 days, we'll try to put those principles, and then we will now analyze some things. There that be of thee. There They shall rebuild the old places that are waste. Corruption has its principles. It also has its consequences. In the day of the death of the corrupt man, his reproach will be known to all. He won't die instantly. He'll be dying gradually. So that the story of his death will also be recorded in the Chronicles. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Why? Because the scepter, the principles by which you operate, is the principles of what? Of righteousness. So God can look at you because the principles of your life are principles that are compatible with the kingdom of heaven. God will give you a promise that will run for 1,000 generations. And in each generation, you keep saying, it's because of Philip, my son, that I'm doing this. It's because of Philip, I'm doing it. Because Philip has struck a chord in the realm. And God is compelled by reason of his obedience to him to be committed to the descendants of Philip, even if they will veer off from the path of righteousness, he will follow them. Because a man had caught covenant with him. Let's rise and pray. We'll continue on Monday. Don't get lost in the traffic. Judge the principles you walk by. Hallelujah. 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 Is coming. Receive it. You want to ask that the Lord will open your ears and begin to speak to you like a friend. Show you the paths that you should not walk in. He will first build your life before he uses you to build your generation. He will first raise your life up before he uses your life to raise a community. Somebody say, I depend on you, Lord. Yield everything to him. Everything yield to him. Give him the right of way. You have the right to break forth in every aspect of my life. Uncover that which is in me that is not of you.
Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and unknown power and might be unto the Lord. Forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Sins and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto unto the Lord. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Oh. We storm in our mercy. Yeah, no, no, no. Blessings and glory.
Oh, Namasa Nemagadeba.
He will not import an evangelist to come do that. He said, there that are of thee. Another scripture says, I sought for a man among them. I was wondering why God could not import an evangelist to do the job. There are some cases where nobody else will do it, but there that are of thee. Amen? So we are, those 3 days will be days of surgery. That God will be shifting some things so that our lives will be on perpetual eternal principles. And if we live that way, will function that way. The next few years will turn a volumes. Now watch me. Are you there with me in the book of are you in 1 Timothy? Let me leave you with a scripture. First Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. There's a scripture I'm battling with now. Amen. Okay, help me. The scripture says, till I come, give yourself. Okay, 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, from verse 13, the Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on this, upon these things. Keep yourself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. The resultant effect should not be emotional, it should be definite. Well, verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself. That's the one we want to practice. Taking heed unto yourself. You are the last person that Samson. Take that Bible, put it on your eye like this. Oh yeah, read it. Can you read? You didn't put where. Put it on your eye. Oh yeah, read. You realize that something that is so close to you, you cannot see. If you don't, and you are the one closest to yourself, if you don't take particular effort to take heed to yourself, all right? It will cost effort. It will take effort. You have to put yourself before yourself afar off, and you stand and look at yourself. You will never know that some things are wrong. So that's the one I want to practice. As you go home, don't pray for revival. Pray for yourself. There is something in your life hindering you from going to the next level with God. Let God reveal. He said, search my heart. Try me. If there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I began to pray that prayer some time ago. I said, Lord, I was reading Schambach's book on the price for the miracle power of God. I wanted power. So I bought power book. Is that not what they say those days? Buy book, read book. So I bought book of power. And that book somehow was not the ordinary type of book. Because after you read for a while, you now say, okay, personal issues. There's a chapter like that, personal issues. So I kept the book and I went to God. I said, well,
I know I've been following you with a sincere heart. I don't, which personal issues? Well, if there are personal issues, bring personal issues and show me what is wrong with me. I prayed that prayer for 3 days and God took me back to when I was on campus. Are you here? When they used my bag to collect offering, and then they used my bag to collect offering, and then they removed their offering. About 2 months later, I found out that there was 1,000 naira in my bag. And it was a time of scarcity, a time of lack, a time of poverty, a time of pressure. So I used the 1,000 naira, and then I now went and paid back the 1,000 naira. It was an annual crusade. All right, so the next year, I went back and gave them 1,000 naira. And I graduated and left. And God told me, He said the 1,000 naira you gave was your contribution. You are still owing. Because if you were going to pay the 1,000 naira that was left in your bag, you would have told them, you people left 1,000. Did you tell them like that? Take heed. It took a revelation of God to show me what was resisting me in the spirit. Now, somebody can be speaking in tongues. You are not doing anything. You can speak in tongues for 12 years and overlook the issues of your life. And maybe be casting out devils. And there's something resisting you. And you discover that. Can we take heed tonight? Take heed. I had to go back many years later to the organizers of that crusade. During the season of the crusade, I came again. I told the coordinator, I took your 1,000. I brought it. They say, I explained. And I told them that if we put the money in the bank since that time, it would have yielded interest of another 1,000. So I'm paying 2,000. Those guys didn't know me. Do you understand? Many generations after I've graduated, I went back. And you know how the thing came out? I was doing deliverance. And the lady began to speak. You carry 1,000. Hey, Makeko Kabala, you carry. May you not be disgraced on the pulpit, in the public, in the market. You carry 1,000. You carry. So when I knew that it was known in the realm, what did I do? I gave them 2,000. Well, let me stop there today. I pray that when we come on Monday, we'll come for business. I'm seeing that the work in our lives are not deep, but we talk too much. We talk. It's not deep. We are still very shallow spiritually. We talk, mouth too much. Now let us allow God walk in us. 1,000 was standing against me in the spirit. And I went and prayed. Then I now understood when that book said personal what? Prior to that time, I never gave my personal life any attention. I didn't take heed. I was just going everywhere, preaching the gospel, speaking in tongues. I prayed to get myself tired to preach. I didn't know that I was allowing my life to lawlessness, and you are so close to yourself and you not know what is going wrong. Several times you need to ask the Lord, search me. So that you know who you need to go and repent to and say, sorry. And receive your liberty. You know where you need to restitute. Say, all right, Lord, I let you go. I forgive now. Help me to forgive. I let that one go. I go back. I'm going back to him to say, this is what I did. When we begin to operate that way, means that we are going deeper in the ways of God. We are operating on principles that will uphold us beyond this time. We'll close today. On Monday, we'll continue. He said Abraham was a sojourner. He sought for what? A city that had foundations. Rise up, let's pray.
should not be disgraced in the market. Let it be that when you come around the glory of God, there will be no hole in your armor. Nothing will stand against you. Your voice will be loud. But we are going home to do work on our life. Take heed unto what? Yourself. Because it's very easy for you to exempt yourself. And you are not bringing yourself into the preaching you are preaching. And you're believing on a principle that will lead you to a place that God is not leading you. And there will be nothing that God can do about it because you adopted it, you accepted it. God will help. God will do a surgery on us in the deep parts, the hidden parts, so that we can be deeper. So that some spirits can lose their claims over our lives and we can move to another level. Father, we pray tonight. These words that have come are so difficult. But use them like a balm to bring healing to the inward parts and to make us alive. That every one of us might experience a leap and a shift. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.